Well, I guess I must live in a great neighborhood. I brought my neighbor, Kim Wright, earlier, but my other neighbor down the street is doing a tremendous job of representing us in the Wisconsin State Legislature, and she's here tonight as she has regularly come to Fighting Bob Fest. She was here last night also for the Choose-a-Palooza. Let's give a very warm welcome to Representative Chris Taylor.
Wow. Hello, everybody. Hello, 76th Assembly District. I love it. I get the great pleasure of representing this incredible community and so many of you in the State Assembly. How incredible is Sarah? We have Sarah Godlewski. I am so thrilled. We are going to have an incredible state treasurer, and it's kind of a little icing on the cake. The guy in there now is not just out the door, but he's actually running in an assembly seat that we're going to beat him in with a woman, a progressive woman. So bye-bye. Well, you all, I'm thrilled to be here as myself, but also as Tony Evers' surrogate. He was so disappointed he could not make it here today, but he wanted me to wish you a very warm welcome, and I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled, that we're going to have a new governor in November, that we're going to have a governor committed to fairness and who brings integrity and ethics back to our state government, and who is totally committed to bettering people's lives rather than his own career. I think we are all ready to say bye-bye to Scott Walker and hello to Tony Evers. Tony Evers is needed more now, I think, than ever. Some people say we're in unprecedented times. We're really in unpresidential times. We have a commander-in-chief whose own staff describes him as idiotic and unhinged. His Secretary of Defense believes that his intellectual capacity is that of a fifth or sixth grader, which is a serious insult to all those 10 and 11-year-olds out there. Some people claim, well, the president doesn't know anything, and I disagree. He does know one thing, unfortunately, and that is hatred. Hate for women, hate for immigrants, hate for people of color, hate for anybody who doesn't look like him, who doesn't sound like him. Trump only respects the freedom to assemble if it's with tiki torches. He only recognized the freedom of the press for Fox and Friends, and he only defends the First Amendment rights of hate mongers, who I've had a personal experience with a guy named David Horowitz. I don't know if you've heard of him. He runs a right-wing, alt-right center out in Los Angeles, and he spoke at the most recent ALEC conference, where he was very popular. Some of you know I go to the American Legislative Exchange Council meetings, not because I like it, not because I share their ideology, because I'm the opposition, and we need to know what the right is up to. So Horowitz spoke and commended President Trump for calling Rosie O'Donnell a big fat pig, and went after all the lefties for criticizing the Constitution for treating African Americans as slaves and three-fifths of a person. And at that point, I did something I've never done before at ALEC. I actually stood up and spoke and said, I oppose what you're saying, and I will not stand here. And there was a lot of silence in that room, I got to tell you. There's a couple hundred people, except two young women in the back applauded. So I was happy about that. And then I wrote about David Horowitz. And we, the left does what we do. We organized. And so the Center for Media and Democracy, who Mary Batari is here, I think, Mary Wave. It's a wonderful journalist, and other progressive groups got together, and they sent a little letter to ALEC's corporate sponsors, who give them lots and lots, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, letting them know about the hate monger and the racist and sexist things that were embraced and spoken about at this meeting. Lo and behold, I never thought I would see this in my life. Yesterday, Alec actually put out a statement saying that David Horowitz did not embody the guidelines that he was supposed to in his little speech. So I actually won one with Alec, which, you know, I never thought that would happen. But lo and behold, I got a cease and desist letter from David Horowitz. He wants to sue me if I do not shut up. Well, guess what? I'm not ceasing and desisting. I'm resisting. I am resisting, and we will not be quiet. As Fighting Bob La Follette stated, every nation has its war party. It is not the party of democracy. It is the party of autocracy, and it seeks to dominate absolutely. And that's what we're battling. The Trump administration, they're hate mongers. They are the war party. And we do have to resist tyranny. We have to resist it. We have to stand up whenever we can. We have to band together and say, we are united in opposing hatred. We are united in our progressive values with that espouse empathy and love and compassion for every person. You know, when I went to El Salvador this last June in a sister city project that Madison has. We actually have a sister city, Arquetau. And when I got back and saw the Trump administration come for immigrant children, for toddlers and babies at the border, what he was demonstrating is that he will come for anyone, that nothing is beyond what tactics that he will engage in. And we must stand together, friends, and we must resist. But we're not just going to say what we don't want. We do need to say what we do want. But let me tell you right now, there are some, like Scott Walker and Brad Schimmel and Leah Vukmir, the Queen of Alec, Ron Johnson and Paul Ryan, who are willing participants in Trump's far-right conga line. Trump's staff might not be loyal to him, but Walker and his Republican posse in Wisconsin sure are. And what Trump is to America, Scott Walker has been to Wisconsin. They both only care about their own power and their own political ambitions over the interests of the actual people of our state. They both would rather give more tax breaks to their wealthy donors and cut and gut the public investments that we need, that most people need to be successful in our state, like a thriving public school system. I mean, why fix the roads when he can fly? Walker doesn't even take his Harley on the roads. And that haircut that he flew to get, it wasn't that great of a haircut. For Trump and Walker, recycling means cutting taxes for their wealthy friends that is recycled into bigger campaign contributions. And Walker might know a little Russian, but I'll tell you, he's fluent in the language of corporate welfare. While rigging the system against working people who have watched their wages stagnate, their right to collective bargain stolen, and their neighborhood public school struggle, Walker got conned by a fox. I've never heard a more appropriate name for a multinational corporation that pollutes and takes a lot of tax money than Foxconn. But Walker got conned by a fox, and he gave away billions of dollars to a company that will eventually employ robots. Walker took that money from every single kitchen table in the state. We're all paying for that. It does not matter where you live. And where do you think it's going to come from? Every public school, every UW campus, every Main Street business. So, Scott Walker, you can have the robot vote. I'll give you that. But if you want to stop massive corporate tax giveaways that we all do, Tony Evers is your man. And like Trump, Walker has made a sport out of treating women like second-class citizens. There's one area where Trump and I agree. Trump wants a wall, and so do I, between him and every single woman he ever encounters. And women are facing really the most vicious and coordinated attacks that I've seen in the last 30 years since my sister and I were college students and locked arms in front of Planned Parenthood to try to keep the health centers open. Trump appoints federal judges and a pending U.S. Supreme Justice who are just waiting to reverse Roe versus Wade, while Walker signs bill after bill after bill to take our rights away. And not only to do that, but to humiliate us, to shame us, including forcing some women to go through unnecessary, unwanted, invasive ultrasounds when they are exercising their right to choose. The Republican men who voted for that law should have to go through a prostate exam with that same ultrasound wand. Then they change their tunes. But what we need is a Bill of Rights. We need a Wisconsin Bill of Rights, and I have that bill to protect not just women's access to health care, but everybody's access to health care, because it is a fundamental human right. We need a Wisconsin Bill of Rights to enshrine that everyone deserves to earn a family-supporting wage and the right to fair legislative districts so that politicians aren't picking their voters, but voters are picking their elected officials. And I'm super encouraged because I see progressive women rising up. That's why we're not just going to see a blue wave. Really, what we're seeing right now is a progressive women's wave that is sweeping this country when you look at the primaries from the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House. Progressive Democratic women are winning these primaries in big numbers, including right here in Madison. Sheila Stubbs will become the first African-American woman to be elected from Madison to the state legislature, and that is long overdue. In Connecticut, in Michigan, in Minnesota, all of those states are on the verge of sending the first women of color to Congress, and two of these women are Muslim. Kansas and New Mexico, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Kansas and New Mexico may send the first Native American women to Congress. And women are changing the face of politics because we are sick and tired of being treated like we don't matter. And you know what? I have to say, after listening to so many incredible young women here today, I've got to say that we're sick and tired of our kids not mattering. We're sick and tired of politicians who won't take just basic steps to make sure that our children are safe in their schools. We really have to do everything possible to reelect our own game changers, including Tammy Baldwin. Tammy has been a champion for women and for access to health care throughout her career. Do you know that there are 852,000 Wisconsinites under the age of 65 who have a pre-existing condition? That is one in four adults, or enough to fill every seat in Camp Randall 4 times or 10 times over. But Leah Vukmir would kick those people right to the curb and deny them health care. I'm ready to send Leah to the curb, and the Koch brothers who are funding her campaign, they need to go back to Kansas. After all, there's no place like home. So the Koch brothers should get out of ours. And who's excited for Iron Stash to take Paul Ryan's place? I'm super excited. You know, last year, Paul Ryan promised he would defund Planned Parenthood, he would repeal the Affordable Care Act. Well, guess what? While Ryan slinks out the door, the ACA is still here, and Planned Parenthood is stronger than ever, thanks to your support. So the best send-off, the most enthusiastic send-off that we can give Paul Ryan is making sure Randy Brice gets elected. Right, Randy? You know, we all know that you can't build a coalition and you can't lead a state by dividing and conquering. That's not how a governor succeeds. And that's really how a state and the people in the state lose. And Tony Evers understands this. Unlike career politician Scott Walker, who I don't think can get a job doing anything else, Tony Evers has spent his entire career from Baraboo to Toma to Oakfield to Omaha, teaching and inspiring kids across Wisconsin. And our children deserve a governor who cares about them. And I'm more than ready for some steady leadership, some integrity, honesty, some ethics. I'm ready for Tony. But we're going to have to work hard over these next 50 days. And we're going to have to work against the Scott Walker money machine. But we can do it, and we must do it. And I'm ready, and I hope you're ready, for Mandela Barnes. Mandela, and this is what I love about Mandela. Mandela knows that as a former grassroots organizer, change comes from the bottom up, not from the top down, but comes from the people at the grassroots level. And talking about needing to change direction, boy, we need to change the direction of the Attorney General's office and restore, yeah, let me tell you, boy. And we need to restore that office to actually representing the people's interests rather than the right-wing campaign donors. Under Brad Schimmel, the AG's office has become literally a right-wing law firm. Schimmel brings case after case after case that harm the people of our state and take away our rights. Just right now, he's actually instituted another lawsuit to repeal the Affordable Care Act and to end coverage for pre-existing conditions and parental coverage for adult children, which he knows is going to harm thousands of Wisconsinites, yet he's using our tax dollars to do this, to institute lawsuits that actually hurt us and hurt our lives and our ability to be healthy. I'll tell you, I'll take his motto, kicking ass every day, that he spent thousands of our dollars putting on commemorative coins, and make sure his ass is out of office. And please do not forget about the state legislature, you all. We cannot change Wisconsin without changing the state legislature. I'm super proud of the Assembly Democrats. Today we actually joined the gerrymandering lawsuit that's gonna hopefully go back up. And we have a ton of progressives running. We have, I'm so excited about this, just in the state assembly, we have 41 women running out of 92 candidates, which is the most we've ever had. But they need your support, and they need not just your financial support, but your boots on the ground all over the state, in Dodgeville, in Wauwatosa, in Wausau. Together, we have to send a message very loud and clear. If you govern against us, you will not represent us. And that's what we're going to show this November. As one of my sheroes, Cecile Richards, former president of Planned Parenthood, where I used to work, says, voting is imperative. Do it like your life depends on it, because it does. So don't just get yourself to the polls, but bring every single person you know. A blue wave doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen. And honestly, I want a blue tsunami. That's what we need to take back our state. And working together, we can do it. We will be victorious. Do you know why? Because people united will never be defeated. So say it with me. People united will never be defeated. People united will never be defeated. Thank you all so much for being here, and let's work together this November.
Representative Chris Taylor. Well, I will note that we did invite Scott Walker to speak tonight. I sent him a personal note with a stamp in an envelope, and he did not reply, at least as of press time. But seriously, I did invite him. Our next, and by the way, all these progressive races around the country are what we're featuring in our next issue of the Progressive Magazine. The October-November magazine is going to be full of articles about all these different races that are happening around the country. And by the way, did I mention you could subscribe to the Progressive and get that issue? Anyway, one of those articles is written by our next speaker, and he needs almost no introduction, but let me say that in the tradition of William T. Evew, the founder of the Capital Times, John Nichols does write for both the Progressive and the Cap Times. Give a warm welcome to John Nichols.
I cannot see you, but I know you are beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a round of applause to the best organizer, the most diligent figure in our movement here in Madison, the guy who is always there and makes sure it comes off, Norm Stockwell. Give it to Norm Stockwell for everything that he does for what we do. Brothers and sisters, we've reached the point in the evening where everything has been said, but not everyone has said it yet. And I know that if we were to celebrate anything tonight, surely we would celebrate on this long evening the new chairs at the Barrymore Theater. They are, the people up in the front row are going, what, there's new chairs? How come I didn't get one? I know, you came first, and Scott Walker took your chairs. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to talk long, but I want to talk about something. I'm thinking about a day. I'm thinking about a couple of days in our history and our journey here. I'm thinking about the first Bob Fest up in Baraboo. And I'm thinking about my friend Ed Garvey. You know, the reason that Ed Garvey started Bob Fest was because we were at a moment politically in Wisconsin where it seemed like so many things were impossible. They had stolen the presidency of the United States in 2000. They'd installed Tommy Thompson out in Washington. His inherited lieutenant governor was sitting in the governor's office. It seemed like our power was so limited. And what Ed Garvey did then was say that if we came together as progressives, our potential was limitless. And it happened that that year of the first Bob Fest, progressives won back every office, every statewide office in Wisconsin. So Ed's faith was always true. Ed didn't win every election, you know. He had a couple of defeats along the way. But Ed Garvey understood something, and that is if you show up, winning is secondary. At the end of the day, if you show up every time, you are eventually going to win. And the victories are hard to measure. When Ed Garvey ran for governor of Wisconsin in 1998, they said that he did not win that election. But the people that Ed Garvey brought to the polls in 1998 reelected Russ Feingold to the United States Senate and put him there to vote against the Patriot Act and the war in Iraq. That Ed Garvey campaign put Barbara Lawton on the statewide map on a trajectory that would make her the best lieutenant governor the state of Wisconsin has ever had. In that election, he saw a young man, Ed Garvey helped a young man get elected to the state legislature, a fellow named Mark Pocan. In that election, he helped a young woman get elected to Congress, a young woman named Tammy Baldwin. Now you tell me whether helping Russ Feingold and Barbara Lawton and Mark Pocan and Tammy Baldwin to rise politically, is that a defeat or is that a victory? That's right, brothers and sisters. When we show up, we win. And Ed Garvey taught us to show up every time for economic and social justice, for racial justice, and for peace. And that's why solidarity is our watchword, and Bob Fest is when we gather to fight on. So let me think about just one day with you here. Take you back a couple of years. March 12th, 2011. My daughter was a little girl then. She's here tonight, but she was still pretty small, I think in kindergarten, first grade. And she got up early then. She was always an early riser. And she said, you know, what are we going to do today? And I said, well, you know, some of my farmer friends from out around Wisconsin, they're coming into Madison for a rally. And my daughter said, well, let's go see the farmers. And I said, well, it may not be that good because the New York Times just said that the Wisconsin uprising against Scott Walker's labor laws had failed, that it was over, that Walker had signed his anti-labor law, and so it wasn't probably going to be much more of a resistance to him. But yeah, let's go see the farmers. And so we got down south of Madison, down at the Labor Temple, and there were farmers all over. They had pulled their tractors in from all over Wisconsin to stand in solidarity with workers, because there is no division between the rural progressive and the urban progressive. They're united. So these farmers had come in to stand with the workers in Madison. And it was cold, and I remember my friend Joel Greeno said, do you want to ride on the back of this tractor? And Whitman and I said, yeah, we'll ride on the back of the tractor with you. We'll ride on that flatbed. And we started rolling in toward downtown Madison for this farmer rally. And, you know, it I don't know if you know this, but tractors don't move very fast. So it took us about a half hour to get to the first corner. And it was starting to get colder, and there was a little bit of snow coming down. And as we got to that first corner, I was wondering whether anybody was going to show up for another rally against Scott Walker. And there were these three kids on the corner, and they had just made a handmade sign, and it said, thank you, farmers, solidarity. And I thought, well, you know, it's not a big crowd, but at least they got the message, right? And we turned on to John Nolan there, and I'm sorry, we turned on to Park Street. Then we finally got our way over to John Nolan, if I'm right about this. It took us a while. It was slow on the tractors. And as we pulled onto it, there was quite a bit of traffic, and I saw these police cars pulling up, and they had their lights flashing. And I thought to myself, oh, no, I'm going to get arrested with my daughter at a farmer rally. But I forgot that during the Wisconsin uprising, the Dane County Sheriff's deputies and the Madison police trade unionists were on the side of the struggle against Scott Walker. They weren't showing up to arrest us. They were showing up to help us get up that long road. And as we moved along, there were SUVs coming by, and you know, SUVs and tractors don't always get along because tractors are slow and SUVs, they want to go fast. And I thought, oh my gosh, this isn't going to work out so well. But the SUVs, they were over in the other lane, and our tractors were slowly making their way up toward the Capitol, despite the fact that the New York Times had said that all of our struggles had failed. And we kept creeping along there along the road, and there was this SUV right next to us, and they put the window down, and I saw a hand coming out of the window. And I said to my daughter, shield your eyes, because I think you're probably going to see the one-finger symbol of disapproval for the trade union struggle. But it wasn't one finger that came out of that SUV. It was a clenched fist of solidarity. The SUVs were going the same direction as the tractors. The people from the suburbs were coming in to be with the people from rural Wisconsin. I thought, well, maybe there'll be a few folks up there at the Capitol, but the New York Times says we failed, so there's not going to be much. I know it won't be, probably not even worth the effort, but we kept going along, and it started to snow a little bit, and it was getting colder, and we were moving along, and then the cars next to us, they started beeping their horns. I thought they were upset with us, and then I realized they had learned to beep on their horns. This is what democracy looks like. Beep, 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 beep. And I thought to myself, this is an amazing thing. We're getting clenched fists of solidarity. The SUVs are honking in solidarity with the tractors, farmers and rural folks with suburban and urban folks, everybody coming together. What a bummer it is that we have failed. What a bummer it is that the New York Times says this struggle is over. And as we headed toward that square, and as the snow was coming down a little more, and as those horns were beeping, beep, 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 and as the clenched fists of solidarity were rising, and we came up over that last curb toward the Capitol Square, and we were greeted by 180,000 people who don't read the New York Times. And brothers and sisters, I don't care what anybody says about victory or defeat. That was one of the best days of my life. I make no apologies for every single demonstration that I went to against Scott Walker's assault on the civil rights, the civil liberties, the labor rights, the rural people's rights, the urban people's rights in the state of Wisconsin. I am proud of every step we have taken to object to this governor and to his wrecking crew. And brothers and sisters, I remember that day, March 12th, 2011. But tonight I see another day, November 6th, 2018. And I think to myself, you know, we live our lives by days. We measure it out imperfectly. But it does strike me that something that began on a cold day in March may end on a fall day in November. Tom Paine said, Randy Bryce, Tom Paine said, that which we achieve too easily, we don't appreciate. That it is the struggle that makes us understand and appreciate what we've been through and what we may accomplish. And brothers and sisters, I believe that a seven and a half year struggle is long enough. I believe we've been through enough. I believe that our day is coming. I believe that our day is November 6th. I believe that people from across Wisconsin will go to vote on that day. And they will vote for people that were in the Capitol with us during that struggle. People like Randy Bryce. Randy Bryce was marching in those demonstrations before he was running for Congress. People like Tony Evers who marched in those demonstrations. People like Mandela Barnes who organized those demonstrations. People like Tammy Baldwin who came back from Washington to stand in solidarity with her constituents. Brothers and sisters, I know that we have been on the outside for a long time. I know that we haven't seen victory at every moment. But I believe that there is coming a day, and I think I can see it soon. I believe there is coming a day when those who marched outside the Capitol of Wisconsin on March 12, 2011, will march into that Capitol on the night of November 6, 2018, and they will say, this is no longer Scott Walker's Capitol. This is the people's house. and they will say, and they will say, Wisconsin is no longer open for business. We are no longer giving it away to Foxconn and multinational corporations. Wisconsin is open for democracy, and we will run our own affairs, not do as Donald Trump in Washington or Wall Street tells us to do. We will guide our way out of this wilderness, and as we guide our way out, we will consign this period to the dustbin of history. And brothers and sisters, we will stand in the governor's office of Wisconsin with the doors taken off the hinges, peacefully and respectfully. And we will stand by that great badger there, and we will rub that badger's nose for luck, and we will say, we are Wisconsinites, and we have come home to our capital, and we will never again let it be taken by the Koch brothers and the billionaires and the corporations, because when we take Wisconsin back, we will make it a place of economic and social and racial justice that can never again be undone by the sins of Scott Walker and his billionaire paymasters. Brothers and sisters, our day is coming. Solidarity.
John Nichols. And of course, standing in that governor's office, you're standing in the shadow of the bust of Fighting Bob La Follette.